I'm John Kroll. Today on No Limits, we're going to talk about IUPUI's 50 years in Indianapolis. We'll talk about the growth of the school and its impact on the city and state. My guests are Amy Warner, Vice Chancellor for Community Engagement, Vernon Williams, Communications and Community Engagement Strategist, and Jeannie Sager, Director of Philanthropy, IU Health Foundation. Please join the conversation. Call 866-476-3881. Email us at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, or you can track us down on Twitter at WFYI. Now, this news. Welcome to No Limits. I am John Kroll, Director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're going to be talking today about the 50 years that IUPUI has been a fixture here in Indianapolis. We're going to talk about the growth of the school and the impact it has had on this city and state. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or track us down on Twitter at WFYI. My guests are Amy Warner. She is Vice Chancellor for Community Engagement. Vernon Williams, who is Communications and Community Engagement Strategist, and Jeannie Sager, Director of Philanthropy, IU Health Foundation. I struggle. Welcome to all of you. I struggle because I spend way too much time in the political world, and I end up wanting to go, whenever I hear vice, go immediately to president rather than
That's
chancellor.
That's no problem, John.
Yeah. But welcome to all of you. It's good to have you here. So we probably ought to talk, because I never want to make the mistake with this show of thinking that everybody who is listening in shares the same set of experiences or history that that a lot of us do. For many people, you know, IUPUI has just always been a fixture on the city's downtown's very near west side. But that wasn't always the case. So we probably ought to start this conversation. I'll start with you on it, Amy, by taking it back to, you know, the beginning. Let's talk a little bit about how IUPUI got started, because in some ways it was an improbable beginning.
Absolutely. In the beginning, realized that there were already academic programs in Indianapolis that was meeting the needs of really an urban area. So you would have already had schools of social work and medicine and nursing already in Indianapolis providing training for professionals and for patient care. But what happened in 1969 was the city of Indianapolis at that time, you recall, Senator Lugar, Richard Lugar, was the mayor of Indianapolis. And there were a number of elected officials that felt it was time to join forces and create Indiana's urban university that we know of today as IUPUI. So in general, they brought the best of Indiana University together with the best of Purdue University and landed it right here in the capital city of Indiana.
One of the things, and I'll let anyone join in on this, that that I think makes it improbable is the collaboration of IU and Purdue in that process. There are other college rivalries in this nation. You know, Duke and UNC come, but Indiana and Purdue are probably among the top five or six in America. I think about the only things ultimately the devotees of those two schools agree on is sun rises in the east and sets in the west, and beyond that, everything else is up for debate and contention. How did that come about? How did the whole idea of these two universities that historically had seen each other as competitors and rivals decide they were going to collaborate?
So we like to talk about it as a shotgun marriage. You know, originally it was really a marriage of convenience. The city of Indianapolis needed the workforce of the future. with engineers and medical professionals, business people. So that's sort of how we envisioned it in the beginning. We have the commitment from the Purdue University trustees and the IU trustees at that time to bring the best of those pieces together. So I would say once you land on the IUPUI campus, the rivalry is almost invisible. It has evolved over the years where faculty have appointments in each other's schools and students are taking IU classes, they're taking Purdue classes, and they're ending up ultimately with their degree from IU-Purdue. So, yes, it was I think, a bit of an experiment in the beginning, but we've become a really strong model that other institutions are looking at right now.
Well, and I would suspect, Vernon, that most people, I mean, have almost forgotten that. They think of IUPUI as its own entity rather than the fact that it was this product of, a partnership.
Absolutely.
Between the two schools.
And some people think there's a such thing as an IUPUI degree, which there's not. As Amy pointed out, there are degrees from the two schools, so they maintain their identity, even though they share the same campus.
So, and we also ought to point out that the campus that exists right now, which is a large and impressive one, was not the way the school started. For people who were not here, in this era 50 years ago, what were the beginnings of the school? I'll stay with you, Vernon.
Well, Kavanaugh Hall was the central facility, and people who went to IUPUI's campus before the current status are amazed when they come and see all the construction. And students were in their cars between classes because there was really no place to go. And now there's this huge campus center and buildings that were scattered about Indianapolis for both IU and Purdue were brought to the campus, enlarging the number of people who were coming to that facility. So it's been quite a transition since the early days.
Yeah, where were some of the places? I mean, I remember spots on, I think,
38th Street.
Definitely. 38th Street was where our Purdue programs mm-hmm. were located. Candidly, they were right across from the fairgrounds. Mm-hmm. And we also had, you probably remember when Heron School of Art was mm-hmm. located over off 16th Street. Mm-hmm. And that came also to the central campus downtown.
Now, Jeannie, why was it important for there to be what became a significant campus presence and for it all to be collected in the place that it was?
Well, I think it's, you think about this collaboration, as Amy mentioned, in 1969 as kind of a shotgun wedding. But the truth of the matter is every great city needs a very good university at its center. With the graduate school programs that we have at IUPUI in particular, we have the largest school of medicine in the country, a dental school that produces most of the dentists here in the state of Indiana. I think it's the second largest school of nursing in the country. So with that, those schools at the anchor in terms of research and education, IUPUI seemed ready and primed to kind of become the campus that it is today and to develop the schools that have been developed. I was privileged to arrive on the campus in 1995 as a Jane Addams Fellow for what was then the Center on Philanthropy, which has now turned into the Lilly Family School of Philanthropy and is the world's first, and we mm-hmm. like to say the world's best, school of philanthropy in the country and in the world, actually. Its location, the types of research that has been happening on campus, the ability to collaborate with industry here in the city, and particularly for me, I've focused a lot on the health sciences. 50 years in just the last decade, the campus has absolutely innovated and changed into something that we are very proud of.
We are talking about 50 years of IUPUI here on No Limits today. If you want to join the conversation, you can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi. You can track us down on Twitter at WFYI. Or you can do what this caller has done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. Caller, you're on the air.
I was a student that went to the old IU Extension in June of 1968 after graduating from Shortridge. And I was trying to get some classes out of the way before I either went to Bloomington or to what was going to be the new IUPUI. And as a result of having had classes in two different blocks that summer, I was invited along with about a dozen, I think it was maybe 18 of us, that had been freshman students that summer, and we were asked to form a freshman class for the new IUPUI. And I was involved with the formation committee and was ultimately elected president of the freshman class in September and October of 1968, as 600 of us became the first full-time students of that institution. We had classes at the M building, which is on Meridian Street. I had classes in the nursing buildings, in the dental school, at the old law building. Any place they could shoehorn us in, we would have classes while they built the Kavanaugh Hall, the library, and the lecture hall buildings over at IUPUI. So it was kind of Wild West times, and indeed, you had to drive to get to some classes because you couldn't walk it in the short time you had between classes.
What do you think when you take a look at the campus now?
Every time I go through there, I'm just amazed at its growth. I forget, your guests can tell us what the specific numbers are, but as I said, I was one of 600 full-time students, and we had 7,000 part-time, mostly adults, at that time. And I guess today it's the reverse. You got 6,000 or 7,000 part-time and 20,000-plus full-time students. Again, I could be corrected on that, but the campus has evolved and continues to evolve into a beautiful jewel on the west side of downtown.
Well, thanks very much for calling and sharing your story. Appreciate
it. Yes, one last little story. Sure. One of the old buildings we did retire when we moved over there was called we had the S building, which is the social services building. And it was where the federal building is right now. And it was a four- or five-story structure that had elevators that the students and faculty would use to go up the upper floors, but it had no safety gates on the elevator. In other words, as you were in front of the car in a tight, you know, packed car, the brickwork would pass you only inches from your nose. And we were told the reason why they didn't have the safety doors on those elevators was those buildings were grandfathered and were about to come down anyway. So you kind of sometimes took your life in your hands when you went to the old IUPUI campus in a few of the old buildings.
Well, thank you very much for sharing that. I'm reasonably certain that, the insurance people all over the city right now are glad that they didn't have that account back in those days.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So, Amy, what do you think when you hear stories like that?
Oh, I just love it. And I'm sure that Jeannie and Vernon feel the same way. It's impossible to work, live, and play on the IUPUI campus and not catch up with these stories. We were so spread out throughout the city. And it really took the vision of elected officials, of faculty, of administrative players. Jeannie, for example, serves on our board of advisors that advises IUPUI on future directions and where we should be more involved in the community. And so many of these partners really shaped that destiny and that vision for IUPUI. And it's taken years for that to be consolidated on one campus where we really are, you know, a living, breathing organism together. It's very exciting.
Vernon, are there attempts to collect stories like that
now?
Because it is obviously... Yeah. There is a certain charm in those experiences, although I suspect you wouldn't want to go back to having elevators that are unsecured.
Well, that was a great call, being the freshman of the first class. And he's right that the numbers have grown to slightly over 29,000 today. And in terms of those places where people can share their stories, we have a couple of things online. One is called Faces of IUPUI, where individuals can share what they're doing right now and talk about their experience, their degrees, and mm-hmm. what their professional life is like now. And then we also have My IUPUI, which offers ways to share how you're celebrating the 50th. What did you do? What do you want to do? What are you going to partake in? How are you celebrating this 50th anniversary of the university that you attended?
Where do people go to do that?
You can go to the university's webpage. You can actually go to Google and go to Faces of IUPUI or My IUPUI, and it will come up.
If you are just joining us, we are talking about 50 years of IUPUI, and we're going to be exploring the impact of the school on this city and state. My guests are Amy Warner. She is Vice Chancellor for Community Engagement, Vernon Williams, Communications and Community Engagement Strategist, and Jeannie Sager, Director of Philanthropy of the IU Health Foundation. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or track us down on Twitter at wfyi. I'm John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StateHouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking about IUPUI's first 50 years here in Indianapolis. We're going to talk about the growth of the school and its impact on the city and state. Piers, we're also going to be talking with alums and other folks, judging from the phone lines, who have their own IUPUI stories to share. My guests are Amy Warner. She is Vice Chancellor for Community Engagement, Vernon Williams, Communications and Community Engagement Strategist, and Jeannie Sager, Director of Philanthropy at IU Health Foundation. If you want to join the conversation, you can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi. You can track us down on Twitter at wfyi. Or you can do what a listener named Reed has done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. Reed, you're on the air.
Yes. I hate to rain on the Happy Talk Parade, but I'm a graduate of Heron School of Art, class of 75, and what happened to that school was an unmitigated disaster, and the current facility is an appalling, anti-creative prison. And I would not recommend it to anyone to go there unless they really like the urban environment of being a prisoner near a major metropolitan center. And the old school had its own separateness. It was special. It's no longer special, in my opinion. And it's just too bad, but it's great for the high school that's there now. And I'm sure that my opinion has never been taken into account by anybody, but I am not alone in this opinion, and everybody who went to the old school are very separate to the people who go to the new school, and that's an irreparable breach, which I think is very unfortunate, and there's absolutely nothing that can be done about it, but I wanted to vent, if that's okay.
The show's called No Limits for a reason, Reed. Thanks for calling in and sharing.
Okay.
All
bye-bye.
Right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
So as we talked about before, Reed brought up a really important point, and that is Heron High School is currently occupying the former Heron School of Art and Design. Mm-hmm. And when it was originally created, it didn't belong to the university. It was more of a conservatory on its own. And so over time, the school itself began to grow and began to be more and more integrated into some of the other disciplines that build into the School of Art and Design. So it moved to the IUPUI campus and currently occupies what was originally the IU School of Law, Indianapolis. So the Heron School was pulled in, and he's correct. It is part of the urban experience. It's part of where students come and go between the Heron School of Art and to other disciplines so that students who maybe are not art majors can also take advantage of the work that's happening there. The building he describes was magnificent. It was historic, and it was clearly isolated as an art institute, if you will. And we have many alumni who share that view. They love that experience, and it made them the artists they are today.
Are there other places like that? I mean, I did my graduate work at St. Louis University, which, you know, in the time that I was there, was pretty much an urban drive-through campus. Now it has been completely transformed. And I look at it and I think, boy, you know, it's beautiful and it looks like a traditional college campus. But I'd be less than honest if I didn't say that there isn't part of me that also misses what it was before, that it was gritty. So as part of this 50, are there ways that alumni such as Reed can mark, you know, what has been lost along the way too? Vernon? Or no, Jeannie.
Sure.
Jeannie wants
well,
to step
I
in.
Think that the 50th anniversary committee has done a really good job of wanting to honor place. And so there have been, and Amy chime in, but there have been projects that have been funded by the campus to develop that really look at the neighborhood that was there before and doing a real retrospective of how the campus has grown. I'd like to think that 1995 wasn't so long ago. That's when I arrived on campus. But it was such a very different place kind of resonates with a lot of what of the other alumni have said about, you know, we spent a lot of time on our cars. It was very much a commuter campus. I was a graduate graduate student at the time. But when you're there now, and now I'm the parent of teenagers who are seriously considering IUPUI as an undergraduate program, and that didn't feel like that was the case back in 95. There were lots of older, non-traditional students that I was going to school with. But when you're on campus today, it feels like a traditional residential campus. And I think we've done a really good job of attracting more traditional students. I know that Amy has some great stats on our freshman class this year. But again, it's about place. Back to the original question, the 50th anniversary committee has really done a good job of making sure that current students understand where we have come from and how we have developed.
Vernon.
You know, I just think about the nostalgia that goes into our own experiences and the inevitability of change. Mm-hmm. And we are addressing a generation that's in this day and age, mm-hmm. and some of the new things that are available as a result of that merging would not have been available at the old location. And not to disparage those heartfelt feelings, which I know are sincere and that people embrace, the facility that's there now is creating new, especially collaborative with other disciplines, activities for students.
Gotten an email from our regular listener, Kenny. And again, if you want to join the conversation via email, you can find us at nolimits@wfyi.org. Kenny writes, discussions of IUPUI's history must not overlook Dr. Onur Yurtseven, who, as its dean personally, took it upon himself with his team to build the School of Engineering and Technology into a world-class institution. A native of Turkey, Dr. Yurtseven traveled the world to bring resources and talent to IUPUI, second to none. For this reason, it should be mentioned that the leadership at IUPUI does not always have the full support of either Purdue Lafayette or IU Bloomington. There seems to be a continuing concern by these parent institutions that IUPUI could actually become a significant educational institution on its own. The tension does not fit a rosy narrative, but needs to be acknowledged. And that's a part, thank you, Kenny, because that is a part, actually, you're anticipating a question I was going to talk about. In the earlier days, there was a lot of discussion about whether ultimately IUPUI should have evolved into something of its own, really, not a product of the two universities. Until another school just south of here adopted the name University of Indianapolis. There were movements in the 70s and 80s to have IUPUI reconstituted as a University of Indianapolis. I think Kurt Vonnegut even argued that it should be called Stardust University after the Hoagie Carmichael song. I'm not even sure how we kind of frame that question, but talk about really the tensions associated with with not being wholly your own creature, Amy?
So when we were doing our strategic plan for the campus, we spent hundreds and hundreds of hours talking with individuals in the community and alumni, friends, business, industry leaders, elected officials. You know, what do you think about IUPUI? What are the prospects for the future? What are opportunities that we could really leverage? And this very notion that you mentioned, this concept of brand identity, mm-hmm. was one that resonated so strongly with our partners and with our alumni. And what I mean by that is the brand that each individual has in their mind when you say IUPUI depends on the year you attended or the year you were introduced to IUPUI. So if you were introduced to IUPUI in some of the formative years, dare we say you might have thought of it as ooey pooey.
Mm-hmm.
You may have thought of it as this.
Those of a certain vintage still.
Absolutely. And resonates. We know when we attend academic conferences how mm-hmm. those faculty mm-hmm. met us and at what point in time. So, yes, I think that branding is certainly an issue. We are undeniably proud of the fact that we have the integrity of those IU and Purdue degrees. The Kenny, who just sent a message in earlier, mm-hmm. talked about the confidence with which Dean Yurtseven ran the School of Engineering and Technology and the respect that he had for the Purdue degree and the collaborative spirit that he had to understand the benefit of adding these two together. So, yes, it's been a very complicated partnership, but one that we think has really proven great results in the long run.
What are the liabilities to having the partnership, Jeannie?
Well, I think it is kind of back to the brand identity. It is an understanding of one's experience and loyalties. So I served for a time as president of the IUPUI Executive Alumni Council. Mm-hmm. And during my tenure was at that time, Indiana University has started to use its logos across campus. Mm-hmm. So where the IU logo was much more prominent than IUPUI letters as they were on terms of banners and things. And so I had we had to have very serious, intense conversations with our Purdue partners mm-hmm. That served as very loyal and dedicated volunteers on that council, and getting them to truly feel that their Purdue identity wasn't being taken away, given that the complicated relationship in terms that Indiana University manages that campus and are very proud to manage that campus. So, again, I think I would just echo what Amy said, that it really has to do with the time that you arrived on campus and the experience that you had, because I really feel, having worked with current students and our newest alumni, they very much feel proud of IUPUI and their degrees from IU or Purdue, and they really feel that sense of campus and community.
Vernon.
What is indisputable is the impact on Indiana's workforce at Central Indiana and the nation mm-hmm. as a result mm-hmm. of this campus and the diversity of degrees that have gone out. Now, that's indisputable. Mm-hmm. And the satisfaction level of those who attend now, who was over 90% in terms of being able to utilize the skills and the education and the training, the internship, the outreach into the community, all of these things are huge positives. Mm-hmm. Being placed downtown makes students accessible to internships that they might not be able to either attain or be able to manage to access if they were in another location. So there's some extreme, and the research has been tremendous over the years. So there are just some high upsides to the downtown campus.
We cannot stress the fact that the differentiator of IUPUI is its urban location. And we mm-hmm. take that very seriously and have leveraged that all 50 years. I always like to say I knew that we arrived when we were a question on Jeopardy. So very proud of that. Mm-hmm. And the answer was, what is IUPUI?
And the question question was, what is the institution with the longest name and the most letters in their name?
Oh, yeah, that probably makes complicated the diplomas handing out. But we are talking about 50 years of IUPUI history today on No Limits. If you want to join the conversation, you can do what Greg has done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. Greg, you're on the air.
Yes, I graduated from what's now the McKinney School of Law in 92. When I was there, there was almost no housing on campus. And now I'm mentoring a nephew who's a junior in high school this year and is seriously considering IUPUI for two reasons. One, the internship opportunities, which you just mentioned, because he wants to major in physics, and he can't get an internship out at a school out in the middle of nowhere for that. But also, he's an extremely high-level competitive swimmer, and the natatorium pool is one of the fastest in the world. So my question is, if I say, yeah, go there, are you going to have a place for him to sleep? Is there enough housing for the undergrads now?
Thanks very much for the call and the question, Greg.
Yes, I'm so glad that you called on all fronts. First of all, we would love to have him as a physics student because, as you know, STEM education is where the action is, and we have the faculty and the facilities to prepare people for their graduate work. And second of all, yes, we do have on-campus housing, and it's so different than when you were there in 92. We have over 2,400 students that are living on campus right now. And the great thing about it is that we are prioritizing freshmen to be in the on-campus housing in the very beginning. We've done studies on retention and success, and we know that students who are living on campus take more advantage of the services that are available to them. They make friends more quickly. They get engaged in the work of the campus. You answered your own question about the internships. We are incredibly proud of this effort. We've recently finished a first destination survey that tells us where our students are and their satisfaction with how their degree prepared them for those jobs. And so with his physics interest, we'd love to see him as quickly as we can see him.
Gotten an email from a listener named Susan. Again, our email address is nolimits@wfyi.org. Susan writes, greetings to my former IUPUI colleagues. I was a non-traditional student when I returned to college in 1973 at IUPUI. Classes were often held on East 38th Street. In 1995, I was privileged to join the IU Foundation at IUPUI and be part of the first ever IUPUI capital campaign. That campaign raised $1.039 million. At that time, IUPUI's campaign raised the most money of any public university in Indiana, including IU Bloomington. I have so many fond memories of the campus helping to create the new Jaguars logo, being the first to sing the new fight song, sending my very best wishes for everyone's continued success at IUPUI. Thanks, John.
Wonderful.
So,
hello, yeah. Susan. Thank you. So great to hear from you.
Yeah. So, you know, moments like this, obviously, that's a big part of the story, the growth. And we've talked about, in some ways, Amy just alluded to the transformation, because for a long time, IUPUI was primarily a commuter school. People came in, took their classes, and left. And in fact, the problem was not housing, it was parking there, that finding a place to park the car could be almost impossible. You know, what of those transitions has been the most difficult to manage? Because, you know, it's sort of like Tarzan. You got to let go of one rope to grab the next one.
So it's interesting you would say that. We had on last week, we had the former mayors of Indianapolis on campus for the IUPUI birthday. And Mayor Goldsmith said, boy, when I was mayor, I was trying to get campus housing on campus so that we'd keep more students downtown. And it pulled quite a chuckle. And then we realized how important that downtown housing was for students to begin to feel part of Indianapolis and build their careers here when they graduate.
Mm-hmm. We are talking about the 50-year history of IUPUI here on No Limits today. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, or you can track us down on Twitter at wfyi. My guests are Amy Warner. She is Vice Chancellor for community engagement. Vernon Williams, he is communications and community engagement strategist. And Jeannie Sager, she is director of philanthropy at the IU Health Foundation. I'm John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StateHouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking today about IUPUI's first 50 years, the way it has grown and evolved through that time, and the way it shaped the lives, not just of its students, but others in this community. My guests are Amy Warner. She is vice chancellor for community engagement. Vernon Williams, he is communications and community engagement strategist, and Jeannie Sager, she is director of philanthropy at the IU Health Foundation. If you want to join the conversation, you can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi. You can track us down on Twitter at wfyi, or you can do what a listener named John has done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. John, you're on the air.
John Ruby.
Hi, John. What's on your mind?
I have degrees from both Purdue and IU, Purdue in 1957 and IU in 1959. For years, I directed the music at the IUPUI commencements. And we would sing the Star Spangled Banner, the alma mater from both schools, and at the end of the ceremony, we would sing Auld Lang Syne, where the students and the parents would lock arms and sway back and forth, and it was just a wonderful experience. One of my favorite memories is a picture that I have of Dr. Wells in a wheelchair, and It's just a wonderful. The whole thing was a wonderful experience. We were the commencement first in the Hoosier Dome right after it was built, and I know that that's still a grand experience, and I was privileged to be a part of it.
Well, thank you very much for calling and sharing that story, John.
You're welcome.
So, Vernon, we said earlier in the program there are places where you are collecting stories such as that one.
Yes.
Go ahead and give them the URL and all of that. Walk them through how they can do that.
You can simply reach out to 50.iupui.edu. That's 50.iupui.edu.
We are talking about IUPUI's first 50 years here on No Limits. If you want to join the conversation, you can do what a listener named Josette has done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. Josette, did I pronounce...
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Did I pronounce your name correctly?
You did. I'm so impressed.
Well, thank you very much. What's on your mind?
So I'm loving this conversation. I graduated at IUPUI in 2000 with my bachelor's degree in social work. And my daughter, who is 20, is now at IUPUI in the School of Education. Both of those schools, the School of Education and the School of Social Work, are amazing for Indianapolis. Not only are we able to do the internships coming around Indianapolis, but we've got, because of the location at IUPUI, both of us have had the opportunity to be able to be in exactly where we wanted to be with the type of work we want to be only because we're at IUPUI.
Well, thank you very much for calling and sharing that, Josette.
So, yeah, thank you for the conversation. It's been really great to listen to.
Certainly. So it's interesting because that's probably something now as a relatively new school. You know, most universities have to deal with this question of legacies and multi-generational family commitments. IUPUI is just now, Jeannie, getting to the point where that's a reality, where you've got at least two generations of the family, probably in some cases now with 50 years, even three, who have who have attended the school.
And I think, again, it speaks again to about evolution. So the School of Social Work is one of a real feather in our cap. It's one of our oldest schools at IUPUI, and a very loyal alumni base, and very successful alumni base. And the School of Education recently became its own School of Education here in Indianapolis. Prior to that, it was a shared school with the School of Education in Bloomington. But now it's a standalone school for IU. And as Josette said, her daughter is there. And quite frankly, the alumni that come through the School of Social Work and the School of Education seem to be fairly focused on knowing the kind of work that they want to do, and are very deliberate about picking IUPUI and Indianapolis as a campus to do that in.
We're talking about IUPUI's first 50 years. Mary Grace, you're on the air.
Hi, happy birthday.
Thank you.
What's on your mind, Mary Grace, other than birthday wishes?
I just wanted to say thank you. I went back as a non-traditional student to get my prereqs in order to go to chiropractic school. I needed science, and I had been out of school for 11 years at the time. And I was introduced to the mentoring program, which I think is a godsend, and which I tried to snag the idea and take it to chiropractic school. Not so successfully, but I tried. But it is so good. It was students mentoring students, and I went on to become a student mentor. And I ended up tutoring as well, because it really did foster my love for anatomy. And honestly, I can think of nothing better for non-traditional students and traditional students alike to be saved from the really despair of not doing well in a course. So I hope the program's still in existence, but I think it was genius, and way to go, and thank you.
Thanks very much for the call, Mary Grace.
Sure.
So, Amy, I'll throw that to you, because the other part of the evolution of the school is that, you know, as in its earliest iterations, it really was a commuter school. And now, you know, in its evolution, it's become a much more sort of traditional university with, you know, on-campus residence halls and all of that. What kind of growing pains did that entail?
So there are two fundamental changes that occurred. One is, candidly, the evolution of the Ivy Tech system. So literally over 20 years ago, we began working on a collaborative agreement with Ivy Tech. And we said, guess what? You are awesome at bringing people in at the beginning level and preparing them for college work and seeing that they succeed in those first 2 years. We're a little bit better at the third and fourth years and the graduate level. We started it as a graduate campus. This is where we really have our asset. We're preparing people for graduate work. So you look at over 20 years of this incredible partnership that permitted Ivy Tech to grow in the way that it has grown and permitted students to get the strength they need from faculty that were there to do specific work. So that's one thing that changed. The second thing that changed was, candidly, the manner in which students choose their institutions, how they're going to make their selection for college. And one of those fundamental changes across the nation is young people are choosing to be in cities for the reasons that our callers have mentioned earlier. Direct access to industry, living in a city where there's music and arts and sports and restaurants and multiple places to live and activities to be involved in. So IUPUI was perfectly poised to make this a home for traditional age students who want to come in and have a four-year experience and to be able to prepare themselves either for graduate work or to go right into the workforce. So we've seen a lot of development. You asked about kind of the growing pains, and I will say that the chief growing pain that I've seen, having been there over the last 30 years, is this worry among our faculty and this worry among our staff that our desire to do well with traditional age undergraduates has caused us to drift from our initial mission. Mm-hmm. And that initial mission was returning adults. The average age when I started was 28 years old.
Yeah, non-traditional students.
Right. And so we're finding that those non-traditional students have multiple ways to enter the educational system, and that we have a responsibility to produce talent as many ways as we can for the Central Indiana economy and the state of Indiana.
We're talking about IUPUI's first 50 years here on No Limits. If you want to join the conversation, you can do what Randy has done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. Randy, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. Just wanted to say that I really appreciated that the school has the Purdue School of Energy, I think is there, the Be Seen program. And that my son just recently graduated that from that program, and I just thought it'd be an opportunity for you all to discuss how relevant, right, that school would be today, and how, if there's plans for it to expand into a graduate program, and just the plans in the future for that relatively new school.
Thanks very much for the call and the question. Amy.
So we have a couple of things that I think are mission critical. One, the emergence of new degree programs that IUPUI has introduced have been of direct benefit to the economic clusters in our region. A perfect example of that is the development and delivery of biomedical engineering, which is a combination of engineering faculty and School of Medicine faculty that are coming together to create biomedical solutions that will improve healthcare for the future. When you throw in faculty members from the Heron School of Art and Design that can then use 3D modeling to develop tiny little braces for babies who need to have their arm set to encourage healing. When you blend these disciplines together, you really get a greater whole than you had by these separate parts. I will say the Purdue School of Engineering and Technology and what was formerly the Purdue School of Science, which includes also IU degrees, we have been able to attract top talent in our teaching, in our research, and also in our student base to make sure that these students are experiencing everything they need to be able to experience for contemporary problems and be able to be on the cutting edge of research and development in the future.
We have gotten an email from our regular listener, Jerry, who says, and again, our email address is nolimits@wfyi.org. Jerry writes, what is the percentage of adjunct professors at IUPUI compared to IU and Purdue? Total adjunct faculty.
Total adjunct faculty. I do not know how it compares to IU and Purdue. I will say that in general, we have 2/3 of our faculty are full-time and 1/3 are part-time. When we add in specialized adjunct faculty members for a specific content area in law, specific content area in business, specific content area in social work, special content area in our school, the Lilly Family School of Philanthropy, those numbers are significant. And it's particularly relevant at the graduate level. We want to make sure that practitioners are touching these students and are explaining what it's like in the real world to be able to convert their research and ideas into reality.
We're talking about IUPUI's first 50 years. Karen, you're on the air.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
I wanted to say a couple things. One is how many healthcare providers that IUPUI in the 50 years that they've been in existence have put into the workforce and should be very proud of. And then a funny little note, and maybe it was an assumption on my part that wasn't correct, but when I was doing my graduate work there at IUPUI, and I am an undergraduate from IUPUI School of Nursing, but when I was doing my graduate work, I lived in Lafayette, and I went one day to the Purdue Library, which I used because of the locale, of course, for me, and I attempted to use my IUPUI ID to do some checkout of some materials, and they looked at me like I was crazy. They wouldn't let me use my IUPUI ID, and I had to get one of the managers of the library department, and I kept saying, what do you think the PU stands for? You know, stands for Purdue University. Some association here, you should be able to check out materials at Purdue University if you are an IUPUI student. So I don't know if that is something.
Yeah, that actually introduces an element we haven't talked about yet. So thanks very much for the call and for sharing that, Karen.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah,
bye
care.
Now.
Sure thing. Bye-bye. So we've talked about actually how IUPUI manages these partnerships. Probably ought to talk about it from the other end of the pipeline. I mean, in what ways do IU and Purdue leverage or gain from having an IUPUI in place? Everybody's looking at you, Amy, so I guess this is the one they're kicking it upstairs.
Excellent. Okay. So, well, it's really, I would say it's both complex and it's both simple. So complex means that if it's an Indiana University degree type program, Indiana University budgeting process, Indiana University salary, Indiana University hiring processes. If it's a curriculum to be developed for an Indiana University school, it goes through that chain. If it's a Purdue University program, it goes through that chain. So we are working with both institutions and with the Indiana Commission on Higher Education to make sure that we are not duplicating other degrees and other programs that are operating somewhere in the state, but that we are pulling the strongest pieces together that we can in order to do this. Our budget processes, our hiring processes are all managed by Indiana University. They're sort of the managing partner of the campus. And so if it has to do with the management facilities and operation, that's going through IU. We do work closely with Purdue on their long-range planning, on their future degree programs, on their attractions, what they intend to do, so that we're complementing that as an overall effort.
We've gotten, I'm going to try to squeeze one more question in from a listener. This is from a listener named Greg, who says, what about the other IUPUs here? I mean, this did start something off. I guess I'll throw that one to Amy as well.
Well, thank you. So we have an IUPU Columbus. And it is has historically been a part of the IUPUI structure. And basically, we realized that we had some of the administrative support that could help the Columbus community achieve their goals. They've worked very closely over the last few years with Ivy Tech and have a comprehensive degree offering and support system there in Columbus. We are now operating also more boldly in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Mm-hmm. So it had formerly been IPFW, Indiana, Purdue, Fort Wayne, and Indiana University is managing the Indiana University programs, and Purdue University is overseeing the Purdue University programs. So that's a new step for us as a campus to provide support for the IU programs in Fort Wayne. The faculty have been incredible, and the students are continuing on their pathway toward the degree that they were seeking initially.
We are just about out of time, and I've got a full phone bank and a lot of other messages. So what I'm going to do is ask all of you to continue the conversation on our Facebook page after we go off the air. And Vernon, very quickly, give the URL again for people to share their stories.
50.iupui.edu.
And I hate to say it, but that's going to have to be the last word. I'd like to thank my guests, Amy Warner, Vernon Williams, and Jeannie Sager, for what has been a lively conversation about IUPUI's first 50 years. I am John Krall. You've been listening to No Limits. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Producers, Sarah Neal Estes, Roxana Caldwell, and Jill Sheridan. Interactive Media Coordinator, Scott McAllister. Technical Producers, Cedric Freeman and Chris Flood. And Board Engineer, Joe Hatcher. Emily Matheny screens our calls. No Limits is made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting station.